Speak to you in the name of the living God.
Amen. There is a very simple message in the gospel today. Well, okay, maybe there's two very simple messages, but they're related to one another. What do you suppose either of those simple messages might be? Have faith. Don't anger your siblings. Yeah, I'm not I wasn't going to touch the Joseph story. Let's stick with the water and the waves and all that. Anybody want to top that one? Well, there's probably lots of simple messages and not so simple, but the first one that dawned on me was, and I don't know, maybe I'm already in a new rut here. Last week, for the first time in a long time, I gave a name to my sermon or a title. And if I was going to name this one, it might be, "You've got to think outside the boat." Obviously, you've all heard or said that phrase, "thinking outside the box." And that statement has always bothered me. Think outside the box. Now, almost every committee that I've ever been a part of, sooner or later, somebody says it. We need to think outside the box. And I'm always thinking, what box? There's a box? I didn't know I was in a box. How am I supposed to think outside it? Where is the proverbial box? And the truth of the matter is, there's no such thing as a box. It's all in our mind. There's no thinking outside the box. So if we remove the box, what's left is, we just need to think. Just think. Well, even though there is no box to think out of, there was most definitely a boat. It wasn't much of a boat, but it was indeed a sea-going vessel. Well, the Sea of Galilee, anyway. And the disciples were in it at Jesus' insistence. "Go ahead," he says, and he might have added, "I'll catch up with you later." We've all done that. Walking through a store, "Go on, I'll catch up with you later," while we go and do something that we want to do. Now, how in the world they thought he was going to catch up with them later, I can't imagine. But nevertheless, off they go, and Jesus goes and spends time in prayer. And we know the rest of the story. Now, I said there was maybe a second message somewhat related to the first. And not only do we need to think outside of the boat, the second message is there is no shame in sinking. There's no shame in sinking. Peter, I think, gets a bad rap in this story. I mean, there's other places where Peter deserves to be chastised, but I'm not so sure this is one of them. I mean, let's cut him some slack. When was the last time you walked on water? Or even tried to walk on water? And that's the point. He tried. He stepped out of the boat. He had the courage to see if he could do it. And for a moment, he succeeded. And then his fears got the best of him. Well, who's wouldn't? And I used to be a bit annoyed at Jesus for chastising. Truth is, I used to be annoyed at Jesus for a lot of stuff. I mean, Jesus says stuff that I don't want to hear. But I was particularly annoyed with his chastising Peter. You of little faith, why did you doubt? I mean, come on, Jesus. I mean, after all, it's not like he was Jesus. He was just Peter. You know, he must have been exhausted after this whole ordeal. You know, fighting the storm, trying to keep this boat afloat. And unlike Jesus, he hadn't had the luxury of kicking back and spending some time conversing with God. So, lighten up, Jesus. Give the brother a break. He's doing the best he can. Then I realized something. All these years, I have been thinking that he was criticizing Peter for sinking. But maybe he wasn't criticizing him for that at all. But actually what he was doing is questioning why he got out of the boat to begin with. Remember, just before he gets out of the boat, what does Peter say? He says to Jesus, If it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Now, there are only a couple of times in the whole gospel when someone addresses Jesus with if, and they're not pretty. The devil does it three times in the wilderness when he tempts Jesus. He says, if you are the Son of God, make these stones into bread. Call down special privileges from heaven. Worship me. When Jesus is hanging on the cross, the people mock him by saying, if you are the Son of God, come on down from there. If. And here Peter joins his voice with these others. If it is you, Jesus, command me to come to you on the water. He wasn't quite sure if what he was seeing was really the presence of God in the midst of the storm. And therein lies the doubt. There's no shame in sinking, only in doubting that God is there at all, and doubting that God would come to them in their hour of need. The symbol of the boat from the various early days in the Christian community has been a symbol of the church. The church. And no wonder. Think about a ship. A vessel that is large enough to take a number of people doing a number of diverse and varied things to get it to move and to keep it going. It's a great symbol for the church. Each of us with our own abilities and gifts that by themselves might not be worth much, but together they keep the church, the body of Christ, going. It's a great symbol for the church. You know, we even call this section of the church in which you're sitting, we call it the nave. The nave, which is another word for ship. I mean, look up. You all know this. I mean, just look up at this. It looks like the underbelly of a boat. Well, we could turn this thing upside down and float all the way down the Delaware River if we wanted to. And therein lies yet another key. The church was never intended to be stationary. It certainly wasn't intended to be upside down. It was never meant to be a grand edifice that sits proudly on a hill, beckoning the lost and lonely and sin-sick to somehow find their way into it. But the church was intended to go into the world, to go downstream and upstream where people that we are called to serve are found. They're not found right outside this door. You know, Jesus sent them ahead in that boat, but he never intended for them to spend the rest of their days there. He intended them to reach the other side of the lake in that shabby little boat and to go on proclaiming the good news and healing the sick. But too often, as the church, we sit and we wait for something to happen. I haven't a clue what we're waiting for. I doubt if anybody else does, but we wait. We desperately want something to happen, but we're not sure, and maybe we wouldn't recognize it when it did. So we come full circle in these messages, sermon titles for today. We need to think outside the boat. The building itself probably isn't going to move very easily, so we need to step out of it from time to time. Step out of our comfort zones and dare risk sinking. But also dare to have faith that God in Christ will come to us, who is there with us all along the way, and he will save us. Amen.